It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
We'll get things started with the Furious Five this morning. Guys, we got plenty of action going on. And we'll get started with the Nationals. We're not able to pull it off. And boy, this was a tough one.
Once again.
I mean, what can you say?
You just have to feel bad for DC Sports just as a whole.
I mean, like I'm sorry, Denton Day.
The whole DC, greater DC Metro, it's just they always disappoint in like the biggest situations.
Well, that is for sure. Nationals taken down by the Dodgers 4-3. They lose at home. They had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after, and it just didn't happen. This was not a good game for the Nationals. We got some stats. I had a great stat, actually. And then I lost it. Ah, yes. They had three times they had a man on third with one out. And three times after that, the next batter struck out. They left the bases loaded a couple of times. How about this? DC teams have not won an elimination game. This is the Capitals, the Nationals, the Wizards, and the Redskins since 1998.
That's rough.
So we'll begin with the Nationals. Obviously, we know they blew it. One person's performance was under par was Bryce Harper.
Yeah, but he's been kind of declining in this postseason. He's played, you know, well, but not to our liking of what we've seen Bryce Harper be. So I was shocked when I saw him not being able to have the offensive power at bats and really.
I mean, he was kind of slumping heading into the playoffs.
He was heading into a decline. So I figured the playoffs would spark that excitement, you know, get him going, and he'd come back and boom, it'd be Bryce Harper that we know.
Make Bryce Harper fun again.
But instead,
using his own catchphrase against him.
There you go. But instead, it was the complete opposite.
Yeah, I mean, Nationals went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position and stranded 11 the entire game. Like, you can't do that in a clutch moment.
No.
A clutch game, it's not acceptable.
That's basic textbook stuff. So, Bryce Harper. And I wish we should. I mean, Denton Day and Thomas Pincero would have a lot to say about this, especially Thomas with the fact that he thinks that Bryce Harper is now being shipped off as a New York Yankee. Are they going to throw $500 million
no
at him
way.
Is the question. Is this the last time that we see Bryce Harper as a Washington National?
If I was the Yankees, I would.
Well,
if I was
the Yankees do what they do.
Yeah, I know. And like that's
that
what they do.
The Yankees haven't been dropping outrageous amounts of money on free agents anymore. Like in the past couple of years, they've more been
well, I think they learned their lesson with Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. But I don't think they're going to dump outrageous amounts of money at Bryce Harper. Also, I don't want them to because I like playing against Bryce Harper four times a year rather than 18. I do not want Bryce Harper in the AL East unless he moves a shorter distance up 95.
Yeah.
Which will never happen. But.
So the question is will the Yankees give him? Because you think Bryce Harper, with his production with the Nationals, he's going to ask for a whole lot of money.
No. I don't think Bryce Harper is that type of person who is going to try to gun for it. We've seen him.
I think he is. I think he's a young gun. I think he's very good, but I think he also has an attitude to go with it. I think he's cocky. And I think he would ask for that kind of money if somebody were to try to lure him away from the Nationals.
If somebody was luring him away from the Nationals, maybe. But at the same time, we've heard him be outspoken about wanting baseball to be something. We've seen him work outside in the communities to try to work with people to get baseball there. Now, every pro does that, and every pro wants their money. So I wouldn't put it past him.
But I think.
But at the same time, I don't think that's his character.
I think he likes playing in DC.
Yeah.
Because if he has an amazing career, stays in DC his entire career, he can be like the permanent face of that franchise. He goes to New York, he's stuck in the shadow of the legends of the game.
Who? They're all gone. Teixeira's gone. A-Rod's gone. What legends of the game is he stuck in? That's a new Yankees team.
No, like
he's not going to be stuck in the shadow of Gary Sanchez or Aaron Judge or Didi Gregorius.
No,
I don't think so.
Like their entire history. I think he might be thinking bigger picture, longer term than this. Like he wants to be like the Nationals guy for like all of Nationals baseball history, because no one's going to remember their days at the Expos. They were terrible. He wants to be like the guy who has multiple statues in and around the stadium.
Well, he's kind of been their go-to guy. And in an era in Nationals baseball where we were just looking for offensive production. Max Scherzer had a pretty good game, and then you had the collapse of pitching in the seventh. But even after that, after the two-run home run, they were one run away.
Yeah.
For the remainder, and you have...
They couldn't do anything.
Well, you have the closer for the Dodgers come in and, you know, pitch a substantial amount. When you have Jansen come in and 2.1 innings for him, that's their closer. And then the whole thing with Kershaw, that was unbelievable. Just what a clutch, unbelievable performance by him. And just to get it done, you think, you know, it's kind of like one of those, like, say I won't situations, and they did. They did it, and it happened.
And I had to hear all the slightly less intelligent Orioles fans complaining about, oh, the Dodgers put their closer in a non-save situation. Yeah. Why couldn't we?
Well, I asked you this, and I'll ask you again, Jake. Which one do you think was a worse collapse? More of a steady decline in this series of the Nationals or the Orioles blowing it at the end of the game?
As an Orioles fan, losing to the Blue Jays, a team who have replaced the Yankees for me as just this anger, like this incredible throw stuff at the TV inducing hatred. Like anytime they do anything positive, through the orange-tinted lenses I look at baseball with, the Orioles game is more depressing, but taking those off the Nationals is way more.
I really like that analogy, the orange-tinted lenses.
I just envisioned him as like the old guy at a park with those glasses that look like Harry Potter orange-tinted glasses walking around with a dog.
There Well, we'll have to see. Off-season has started for the Nationals. We're going to keep tabs on that. We move to NHL, it has started, and it has started with a bang. Woo. Austin Matthews, the number one overall pick for the Toronto Maple Leafs, getting things started. 4 goals in his NHL debut. The problem, Toronto loses 5-4 in the Battle of Ontario against Ottawa. That is certainly a problem for the rest of the team. But how about this guy? A lot of hype around him. Do you guys think it's true? He's played one game. What are your thoughts?
We'll see how he does against Boston tonight, because Boston is a much better team than Ottawa. They're going to be in Toronto, so this will be his first game in front of the his first regular season game in front of the home crowd, and that's another rivalry game. That's going to be a very insane atmosphere up there at the Air Canada Center. So we'll see what he does. We'll see what he does against Boston tonight. But I think, like, the future of the NHL is here. A lot of the teams, especially in the Eastern Conference, have these really, really young players that are already producing at the NHL level. To hype up my Flyers a little bit again last night, Konecki and Provorov, two of their 19-year-old rookies as well, had multi-assist games last night. And then, obviously, you still got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in Edmonton. They played a great game last night. So the future of the NHL is here. Goodbye, Sidney Crosby.
I don't know if it's goodbye, Sidney Crosby. We forget he's still coming off.
Stop.
He had another concussion. If he wants to live past 60, he needs to hang up the skates.
He's going
to
end up like old Wes Welker in the NFL.
What athlete wants to stop playing? Look at Steve Young. Steve Young got battered so many times. Troy Aikman got battered so many times. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about hockey. Sidney Crosby is a equipped young man who's still young, who's still going to be able to do a lot of stuff. And I love the fact that he comes up when we're talking about a rookie who's played one game.
Yeah.
One game.
I think I'd build a team around Austin Matthews now instead of around him.
One game.
Still, anyone who knows me knows my opinion on Crosby, but I would rather.
All right.
I would rather have Austin Matthews. I think he's a better. I mean, obviously, one game. We'll see how he does.
There was this much hype over Connor McDavid, I believe, last year,
and then he got injured.
Austin
Matthews is one injury away from being irrelevant.
Well, McDavid missed half the season last year because he broke his collarbone.
Oh, that's so bad. So we could totally say that if you built a team around Austin Matthews and he broke his collarbone,
that would be a problem.
Your team would be in trouble.
Well, the Toronto Maple Leafs are already in trouble because he is all they have.
I'm just saying, if Sidney Crosby goes down, how many other people are going to be right there to help their team out? Because Sidney Crosby's been out, and they've been able to work around.
They also have Malkin.
I know. What I'm saying.
The Penguins are a better team than the Maple Leafs, and I think a part of me just died by saying the Penguins are actually a good team.
Yeah, see, but that's what I'm here for. I'm here to get you to admit the hard stuff.
They're actually a good team, but they're
congratulations, Kyle.
That's what I do.
They're not going to win the Stanley Cup again this year.
So, are you sure?
What does this guy? Yes. What does this guy and Austin Matthews have to do to solidify himself as a player that's really in there for Toronto and maybe rookie of the year?
Okay.
We're one game in.
It's too early to give him rookie of the year.
Too early to give anybody rookie of the year.
One game. How many games is the season? 80. He's got plenty of time to develop. But the exciting thing is what he did show was a lot of really just athleticism and then poise, being able to understand where he needed to be to get into the position to get those goals. I really think that if he grows on that, he's going to be a really exciting player to watch. It gives you just another reason. And that's one of the things about the NHL that doesn't get enough hype. When they get to the playoffs, we see their ratings go up because people like to see the speed of it. But if we have more all-stars like this and more people who are playing at a high caliber, that is good for the NHL that puts them on.
And NBCSN picked up at the last minute the Boston-Toronto game tonight because people want to see Austin Matthews. And
from a Maple Leafs perspective, they really haven't had any ground. They haven't had any momentum in the last few years.
They made the playoffs once since the 0405 lockout.
That's a problem. That's a huge problem.
They haven't won a Stanley Cup since there were still six teams in the NHL. There are now 30.
Yeah, so
the last time they won a Stanley Cup was 1967.
So hopefully things will be looking up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now we move to football and a city that could be garnishing an NFL team real soon.
We're going to Vegas!
Viva Las Vegas. It could be the case for the Raiders. The Nevada legislature has signed off on a plan that would use $750 million in public money to build an NFL stadium in Las Vegas. Despite opposition to a project party funded by a billionaire casino mogul. But either way, now you have the Nevada legislature signing off on it. I believe, does it go to the Senate now? Or something like that.
Probably. If the state of Nevada works
That's some big-time money. They want to build a 65-seat domed stadium.
65? That's going to be beautiful.
Did I say 65 seats?
That's about all the Raiders fans have.
That's an intimate connection, sideline seating.
65,000 seats.
By the way,
65,000 seats.
Each ticket is $1.2 million.
All right, so for the Oakland Raiders. Now, if this was last year, if this was the year before, or the year before that, or the year before that, or the year before that, and I can keep going until 2001, I would say, sure. This is great for the Raiders. Well, guess what? They're 4-1 right now with the Broncos losing. They're on top of the AFC right now.
And they're going to progress, too. The way that Crabtree has been being able to...
They're looking great right now. They're looking like the team that they've wanted to build for the last 5 years.
They have two elite wide receivers.
They've finally gotten there.
If they go 11-5, win their division, and go to the playoffs, are we going to see the Raiders move? Is all this coming at a bad time? What do you guys think?
I think this is terrible timing, but that they're actually good again, but they have needed to get out of Oakland for a long time. Like,
I disagree. Or I think I really like them in Oakland. The problem that I have with them is they have their stadium, Oco Stadium, sucks. It's the only stadium that's still shared with
a baseball team.
So when you have a terrible stadium like that,
I mean,
they can't get approval in Oakland. I would have liked to see them go back to L.A. I think St. Louis should have stayed in St. Louis. And their owner screwed them over.
And he did a lot of other shady things. Like, yes.
They hate him now. So
he was okay. Trying to, like, keep the team working under Missouri tax laws because they're more business-friendly.
So, yeah. So I think that Oakland, because they had a great fan base. You talk about, and I hate to bring culture into it, but in the 80s and 90s with the whole, you know, like NWA, stuff like that, that was culture. The Oakland Raiders was part of their culture, the L.A. Raiders, you know. And so I think moving them back would have been a great cultural decision for the area there. But you have them still in Oakland. I don't think bringing them – I think bringing them to Las Vegas would benefit not the fans. It would benefit the people that are making money off of it.
Yeah, it would benefit Vegas.
What are your thoughts, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, Oakland's doing great where they are right now, and –
they're just in a terrible stadium.
Yeah, just in a terrible stadium. And if they move to Las Vegas, they're going to be paying $500 million out of pocket for this. So $500 out of the $750 million is coming right out of Oakland's pocket.
Well, we do know this. Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, son of Al Davis, win, baby, win. He is a weird dude.
He is.
He's not a normal guy. And he runs his business not normally. So we will see how he chooses to address this, but let me ask you this, guys. If the Raiders win the division, they have a breakout year, go to the playoffs, do you think they should move?
Yes.
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 Why? I don't think they should move.
They need to get a new stadium. Like a good – a team that has
become – so does San Diego.
Well, see, that's actually – I'm thinking more of a three-way trade. The way that everybody's playing, I would like to see – the Raiders to go to Las Vegas and actually San Diego to go to either Oakland or another city, because right now the Chargers, I love them. They're like the worst last 2 minute game like team.
Well, it's always that thing where they
give the ball to
Philip Rivers with 20 seconds left and he doesn't win and they're like, why didn't you win?
He's got to go 80 yards. He's got 450 yards and they're like, but you threw an interception in the first quarter,
Philip Rivers.
5 minutes in.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers is not an elite quarterback.
Somebody brought this up. We may have to throw this in an NFL later, but Philip Rivers getting out of San Diego could possibly be an option because the rest of the team is just
tanking
right now.
He's not going.
He's not going. Anywhere. Like, once Keenan Allen went down, one of my friends who is a diehard Chargers fan is just like, I'm done with football for the year because we're gonna suck.
All right, so
we'll talk about football.
We talked about this. You guys think that they should move if they do good. If they do bad, I'm assuming you think they should move as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's a business, and it's about being able to put yourself in the opportune moments to be able to make that money be able to sell a product.
Vegas is getting
entertainers.
I think Raiders fans are some of the most loyal fans in the NFL.
Absolutely, but I think they would love it because I think they'd be like, now we have an excuse to go to Vegas. Like, come on.
You want those guys with those spikes and painted up and
they would fit in
perfectly.
They would fit in perfectly in Vegas.
Chris,
I think they would get arrested. All
please,
of them. They would
please
just
tell
all
me
get
you
arrested.
Agree with me.
I agree with that.
I would love to see those guys in Vegas. It would be the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, that would certainly be something. Now moving on, we go to from sports to the people who call it. The decision was made last night that ESPN's Chris Broussard will now be joining Fox Sports 1. And he joins a list of other sports personalities who have gone to Fox Sports, including Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp, and Colin Cowherd. Guys, is this the decline of ESPN? Are we seeing this now? Where they're being lured away to Fox Sports?
No,
because they're being lured away to NBC Sports and these other things? Why don't we discuss this for a little bit?
Only one truly good broadcaster that people actually like in the past stretch has left ESPN for another.
Who's that?
Tirico.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't like Colin Cowherd?
I do not like Colin Cowherd. I do not like Cowherd. I do not like Skip Bayless.
But we're coming from the era. You talk about, you know, in the 90s when SportsCenter started. If you wanted sports coverage, you would go to ESPN. You had your Dan Patricks, your Rich Eisens, and then eventually your Stuart Scotts. Those guys made up the sports persona lineup in your mind. There really wasn't anybody else. And then you had, you know, Rich Eisen went off to NFL Network. Dan Patrick started doing his own thing. You had radio hosts that started getting in there. But I think this is a huge loss for ESPN because it's good for one sport to have that one guy. When you think of NFL, who do you
John
think
Madden.
About? No, for that. I mean, yes, we love John Madden. But when you think of ESPN, who do you think of like is that one guy?
Al Michaels.
Wrong again.
Schefter.
Yes, Adam Schefter. That's what I was thinking, Adam Schefter. And when you think of basketball, you think of Chris Broussard, right?
Yeah.
So now ESPN's not going to have that. Somebody else is going to have to step up, and they're going to have to get a new name acquainted.
But they do have a lot of talent.
But at the same time, I was on the FS1 bandwagon when they started a couple years ago. It's like, okay, I'm sick of ESPN's ESPN-ness. I'm just going to watch.
Another problem with Fox Sports 1 is I can't even find... Well, we don't even have them at my apartment here in Lynchburg.
We don't.
When I'm at home, I don't even know where it is in the channel lineup. ESPN, I know where that's been in the channel lineup for the past, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
It's been in the same spot.
The only time I go to Fox Sports now is to hear Gus Johnson. Like,
yeah.
When Fox Sports 1...
But that's the thing, though. Your favorite sports personalities are being lured to Fox Sports 1. Is that going to dissuade you from watching ESPN? And the answer is... Yes.
My SVP's still at ESPN. I don't think he's going anywhere. As long as SVP is at ESPN, they will still be the top. And they're still actually showing highlights because FS1 has completely abandoned highlights. And you've got, like, the two Canadians trying to be Jimmy Fallon.
No.
What do you think, Kyle?
No,
and failing miserably.
I absolutely love FS1. It's going to continue to grow. I love who they have been bringing in too. They're being very tactful in how they do this because they bring in high caliber, high talented people who are very, very smart. Think about Chris Broussard. He just spoke here at Liberty, you know, like a month ago. Mm-hmm. Like, he's an extremely smart man who is very passionate about what he does, and he's very good. And
yeah, so Broussard's now, very good at his job.
Now they have that to be able to bring into all their other shows, which brings a little bit of more, I would say, substance into the stuff that maybe some people are like, oh, well, I don't really like this guy, or I don't really like Skip Bayless, or I'm not really a Shannon Sharp fan, or I'm not really...
That's one show. You don't have... People who still watch ESPN, like me, can ignore First Take. If I go back to FS1, I can ignore Undisputed.
But did you watch First Take when Bayless was there?
No.
Did you? Okay, so a lot of the people who have watched First Take, like I did, I loved First Take. I can't watch it now.
Like, he's not there.
Max Kellerman does not do...
Well, it might take a couple of years for Max Kellerman. Because you think, Skip Bayless, and I'm really dating myself, I believe he was on Cold Pizza before First Take, right?
Yes.
That's like going back 10 years. So Skip Bayless had to build that fan base up, and now Max Kellerman has to do that on ESPN. Well, that's the problem that I think they're having is they're losing these guys that have been there. And you hear Chris Broussard, boom, you think of NBA on ESPN, you know?
Well, and you have those situations, and that's why I think FS1 is tactful in how they're doing this, because they're bringing people over that have a longevity. So when you hear their name, you think, oh, like, they've been doing this a long time. Instead of starting with a bunch of fresh guys, which they're bringing in as well, they have some amazing people who do
fill-ins. Katie Nolan.
I absolutely love their fill-ins and their other shows that they have going on. I can't think of his name. I think it's Clay Travis. Yeah, he's fantastic, just extremely fantastic and well-spoken. Like, I love listening to FS1 or watching it.
Yeah, well, I think for me, they're going to have to really get some programming to win me over, because
they're
going
to have to.
If I want to hear anything about sports, my default is just to go to flip on ESPN real quick.
I mean, I,
yeah,
They had good shows for a while. America's Pregame was a great show. Was a great equivalent to like the early the mid afternoon Sports Center. That was, and they gave up on it after like 3 months. Well, Crowd Grows Wild was a really good show. They gave up on it after about 5 months.
Another good thing with Fox Sports 1 is they're starting to get those bigger sports. They're starting to get rights to things that are bigger.
They're starting to get college basketball rights.
Yeah, they're starting to do basketball. They're starting to get some college football rights. They got the rights to the National Series. So that's good. That's going to make people turn it on. ESPN or Fox Sports, in your mind right now, which one are you going to turn on if you had a choice?
Yeah,
you're going to turn on ESPN.
Right
ESPN.
Now,
the longevity of ESPN.
Yeah. Right but now, I'm going ESPN.
It really depends on what I want, because if it's something specific that I want to hear about, I've heard everything I can about what the ESPN people are going to say, so I know what they're going to say. And I would rather listen to FS1 on a specific issue. If it's just information,
yeah.
ESPN
yeah, general
has
information like
everywhere.
SportsCenter or something
right.
like that.
But if it's something specific, probably FS1 because they give a lot clearer thoughts.
If I want Big East basketball or if I want just exciting basketball, I go to FS1 because they have Gus and Raph, and I love Gus and Raph.
Well, there you go. There's something to bring you there. So we'll keep tabs on that as well. We move to basketball. We're getting started here. Cleveland Cavaliers re-signed J.R. Smith to a 4-year deal worth $57 million.
What?
Guys, the question is, does he deserve it? No. And will he stay around for the remainder of the contract? No. But let's talk about it. Chris, you have thoughts on this?
I mean, J.R. Smith's coming off probably one of his best years. I mean, he averaged 12.4 points last year
and
shot 40% behind the arc.
The head coach and the GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James, loves him too. So,
and
I mean,
got
seriously.
New tattoos.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron and Kyrie were like flipping out because they didn't sign him before preseason workouts. And I mean, I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be a huge threat.
If he can stay healthy.
If he can stay healthy.
That is a gigantic if.
Gigantic if.
It's so sad that that's always the question for every athlete that I hear. It's almost as if it's like the excuse, oh, if they're healthy or if they're 100%. Like, I get it.
Look at Josh Gordon. I mean, look at all these. There's a ton of guys like that. Look at – I could just go back to the NFL. There's so many guys where you could –
I mean, Jordan Reed for the Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed season and a half with a concussion.
Look at RG3.
Oh, don't even bring that up.
Sorry.
That's still a painful memory.
Sorry. I'll just do a little bit of this. Sorry.
There it is.
But seriously, though, is it time for the Cavs to part? I mean, they're not going to part ways with J.R. Smith now, but is he more of a distraction for this team? Is he more of just somebody? Because look at guys like Timothy Mozgov, who leaves, you know, the Cavs, or, you know, Dellavedova, guys like that.
Oh,
is J.R. Smith one of those guys, or is he actually going to be a legitimate contributor to this team?
I think he might actually be legitimate. I'm glad Dellavedova's not on the Cavs anymore. I really don't like him. He's like
he shut down Steph Curry 2 years ago.
The hype he got in between those two games where he shut down Steph Curry and he still had like 30 points.
Yeah.
I shut down Steph Curry.
You didn't. He still dropped 30 on you. And like the hype he received in that like 24-hour window between those two games, I just got so sick of him. I was just like, someone please make everyone stop talking about this guy. He's not actually that good. Like Dan Patrick was the only one who was kind of the voice of reason. It was like, look, he did not shut down Steph Curry. Curry still dropped 30 on him.
I will say this about JR is if you saw his post game interview where he went off and got emotional about talking about his daughter and his dad, based on that alone,
blah blah blah,
was one of those culminating factors of, is this guy's passion for real? And yes. So if he's going to be passionate and play basketball, I mean, go for it. He gets the money. If he plays and he continues to play well this season, But I mean, think about it. If he scores 4 goals in the first game, are we going to, you know, call him a Hall of Famer?
4 goals. Well, one good thing about this contract for J.R. Smith is it's not fully guaranteed until he makes it through, what, the 2018-2019 season or something like that. So
that's smart.
He's got time. The Cavaliers played it safe on this one.
Money.
Will he last all 4 years with them? He'll be 34 if he does. I don't think he will. What do you guys think?
I think he's got a good chance. I think even if in his final years, if he's a little slow and a little rusted, they'll bring him in as a sub. But I still think he's got a really good chance to make something happen.
And I mean, he's on a team with LeBron and Kyrie. He doesn't have to do that much.
No.
How long is LeBron and Kyrie going to be there? That's my question.
I think Bron's going to be the rest of his career.
LeBron's going to stay there for the rest of his career. Kyrie is the question.
Yeah, I don't think Kyrie's going to stay much longer.
It depends.
LeBron's gonna go to the Yankees for $500 million.
That's what's
going to
happen.
Switching sports like Michael Jordan.
There you go.
He's trying.
Oh, watch LeBron go to the NFL. That might happen soon.
He'll play tight end for the Browns. Probably be the best player they've had in years.
Hey, calm down, Gary Barnett.